Hi guys, it's me, Irfan Elijah. Hey, I heard that you guys thought I was the sexiest of all the cult casters. Is it my long and luscious, thick mane of chest hair that's been kissed by the sun? Is that what you like? Well, hey, I appreciate that, but let's talk about the cult cast. Here's what we got for you guys this time. First, the secret Apple eBay store. It's back, and it's selling iPhones at insanely low prices. Everything must go. You better act fast. We'll tell you about that. Plus, an insanely great feature Apple needs to bake into Siri, like, right now. And then a YouTuber gets his hands on the iPhone 6's sapphire screen. He does some durability tests on this thing. And let's just say, your iPhone 6 screen is virtually indestructible. It's like Buster's chest. Solid iron. Oh, then our last segment, Geekin', the new segment where we divulge whatever it is we're currently obsessing over. Stay tuned till the end for that. But before we hop into the show, big shout out to our new sponsor, Oyster. I'm thrilled to have these guys supporting. Think of them like Netflix, but for ebooks. Oyster is a beautifully designed subscription-based app that gives you access to read unlimited ebooks for just $9.95 a month. And their library includes titles from top publishers like Simon & Schuster and HarperCollins, plus indie publishers too. So they have everything from Stephen King to thousands of New York Times bestsellers. Head on over to oysterbooks.com/cultcast for your first month free and see why they've been featured on the Today Show and CNN and named one of the best apps of 2013 by TechCrunch. Try it out yourself and get your first month free. That's oysterbooks.com/cultcast. All right, let's hop into the show. Hey, Buster, do you know where I put my dark tanning body oils? I didn't realize that Leander was such a soccer fan.
I didn't either. I didn't peg Leander as a soccer fan.
Yeah, so as I was saying, Buster, the UK soccer team is just so bad. Oh, is Leander there? Hello! You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, joined today by two incredible guests. The first, well, his beard and his brawn are the envy of lumberjacks everywhere. I'm, of course, talking about the Mr. Buster Heine. Buster?
Hello, sir.
You got some burrito in your mouth?
Ah, time. It's delicious.
That's how I like it. Our next guest, well, no bard or bartender is a better drinking companion, though you should be weary, for he's always just one Stella Artois from introducing your face to his brass knuckles. I'm, of course, talking about the Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey, fun.
He's got the game going in the background.
Yeah, I like the World Cup edition there.
You like that?
The opening.
I should have kept it going for longer, but we probably just lost half our listeners just with that, so I thought we'd keep the rest. Happy World Cup games to everyone listening. Sorry to our Brazilian listeners. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
But the Germans are beasts. I mean, the Germans are beasts at everything they do.
Right.
They seem like tough opponents.
Holy moly. They were so they outclassed them of a completely different. It was like watching them play school kids. It was amazing. They were great.
I didn't watch
the Germans
the game.
Were so great. It was untrue.
Really, it seemed like it was thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah,
I've been thoroughly entertained by all the great memes that have been on Reddit for the last 2 days straight about the game. Again, my apologies to our Brazilian listeners. I know some of you are very sensitive about the game, so I want to apologize. But they are really funny memes. There's this one that showed you know, that statue of Jesus on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his arms out, and the caption said, "We lost by this much." Which is not funny at all.
No, you jerks. Not at all.
Anyway, so much great Apple stuff to talk about on this show. But before we hop into all the goodness, I want to give my thanks to Lynda.com for sponsoring this episode. That's lynda.com/cultcast. With over 2,000 high quality video courses taught by industry leading experts, lynda.com can help you master virtually any application all on your own time and at your own pace. Learn all you want for free for 7 days with a free trial. Head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. Remember, that's lynda.com.
Do they have a basic soccer skills for
Oh gosh, that's a jab.
Yeah,
what a jab. Basic soccer skills for Brazilians.
Team Brazil.
You know, it wouldn't surprise, because they just have so many great courses, Leander.
Yeah.
how to beat Germans in a game of football 101. That video is very short because they determined by the end there's just no way. Let's hop into some Apple news. Buster, I was reading your post on Cult of Mac about how the secret factory eBay outlet store for Apple has opened back up. I didn't even know they had a secret eBay factory store.
Dude, you didn't? I thought you'd like deals, man.
I love deals, and that's why I honed in on this one right away. So what's the story with this? Because it seems like it's like the best way or the best prices on actual warrantied iPhones.
Yeah, last year they had like a real like a secret eBay store where they were like pushing out old iPad and MacBook inventory. This year it's just iPhone 5s, but I don't think you can even buy an iPhone 5 anywhere anymore. So they have them for super cheap, unlocked. It's like $450.
Steal of a deal. I mean, steal of a deal. I paid, and this is for with a discount when I bought my iPhone 5 because I was renewing my contract, and I paid $600 for the 32-gigabyte model. Yeah, they're selling it for $479, unlocked, no contract.
Well, they were. It's all sold out.
Oh, are they all sold out now?
Looks like it, yeah.
Oh.
Dang.
Well, you heard it here. You heard it here first. See how popular our show is? They're already sold out, guys. Sorry. You waited 10 seconds. It's too late. Well, still check it out. Maybe they'll refresh the lineup. The store is called Factory Outlet.
Well, isn't that, I have a question, though. Why are they doing it through eBay? I mean, they have a refurbished section on the Apple.
Because they're selling them for even cheaper prices than that refurbished section on Apple.com.
Yeah, I don't know why they do the eBay one either, though.
Because they don't even show that it's affiliated with Apple whatsoever. It doesn't say anything about Apple. It looks like it's affiliated with Apple a little bit.
I think it's just the most discreet way for them to get rid of all of their extra inventory.
Yeah, you're probably, and they did it, right? I mean, prices are insane.
Yeah, without dinging like Apple's reputation for never having sales, you know.
Exactly. That's exactly weird, how they're doing it. But it's so weird, isn't it? Like, there's somebody at Apple setting up eBay auctions for this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's dirt cheap too. $500 for for an unlocked phone is great.
Yeah, $500 for a 64-gigabyte iPhone 5 unlocked. That's an incredible deal. And it's funny because the 16 gig is $449, the 32 is $479. So even raising the prices like that for the extra memory, they're still making a profit on it. You know, like Apple probably pays like $1.25 for 8 gigabytes or 16 gigabytes of memory. So anyway, check it out. It's on the eBay store. They may not have any by the time you hear this. As I said, our show is just so popular. Like, we sell stuff out all the time. So, but you know, it's worth a shot. I think it is called Factory. Is it just called Factory _ Outlet, Buster?
Yeah, I don't know. Factory dash certified.
Yeah, okay. So if you want to search for the store. I thought this was really cool. You guys know that I always give Siri a hard time because it often doesn't work for me. Well, a Reddit user, I think his username is Good News Nobody, was talking about Siri features that he thought they should add. And I thought this one was so good, it was worth talking about on our show because, you know, we know we only have the highest quality news stories here. And this one made the cut. And he was saying that it'd be really awesome if they added a reminders feature to Siri, but not reminding you to like do something. Like, it would remember things that you were trying to remember. So if you were at the gym and you're like, Siri, remember my gym locker passcode is like 32 55 32. And then later when you go back, if you need that information, it's, you know, context aware, it knows where you are, it brings that stuff up. Tell me that wouldn't be an awesome feature, Leander. You'd probably use that all the time.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm all over that.
Like, Siri, remind me where I left my hoagie. Siri, where did I put my brass knuckles? I'm going to drink Stella Artois. And it would give you like a GPS map of where you set them down.
Right.
Or you could say, remind me that my boss's kids' names are, you know, boom. You're in with your boss, like no problem. How do you think I always remember what your kids' names are, Leander? That's probably how you remember what your kids' names are.
Yeah, that's how I do it, too.
You got so many kids.
My wife as well.
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing about our Brazil comments from before. You have the game going, Leander?
It's I'm really excited about today's game, yeah.
Oh, man, what a bummer to get beat that bad. I'm sorry. I hate to go back and
It was unbelievable.
I've been pounding on this more, but yeah. I just can't stop thinking about it. What were you saying, Leander?
Well, you know, it's just there has never been an upset like that, ever.
And in their own country, and they're hosting it.
And exactly. And they're the favorites. Yeah.
Oh, incredible. They were the favorites.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one of the favorites, yeah. But they definitely had a good, yeah.
Because I'm sure the Brazilian team is actually probably quite good. They've got to be. It's Brazil, man.
Yeah, they looked dominant when they played everyone else.
Yeah, jeez. I mean, it's soccer, a.k.a. football. Right. That's like their national sport.
Oh, my. It's more than that. It's the whole
national
lifestyle.
Their national religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, totally.
Wow. Those memes where people were crying and stuff. And yeah. The Reddit comments of these memes were just ruthless. They're just ruthless. Like, did you see the kid crying and he was holding his Coke cup right in front of his face? Did you guys see that particular video?
I think so, yeah.
So this kid is watching the game. His face is kind of painted and he's crying. And somebody's caption of that meme was, Brazilian kid cries into his cup and his tears are going to the thirsty Germans or something. It's like, jeez, I mean, the kids are safe. These people are brutal.
Yeah, he was in the crowd. They kept on showing him on TV. He was one of the people they picked out from the crowd. That kid.
And then there's the guy, the really sad older guy holding the World Cup trophy. Anyway, okay, let's get back to the Apple news. Leander, I thought this was really interesting. We've talked about how popular tablets keep getting before on this show. And back in 2010, Steve Jobs predicted that tablets were going to eventually take over the personal computer market for a majority of people, which actually I kind of found hard to believe. And I still find hard to believe, even to this day.
Really?
Well, yeah, I do. Just because, I mean, would you ever give up your MacBook Air or whatever computer you use just for an iPad?
Well, yeah, you know, and I had tried it. Yeah, I tried it, and I was kind of, you know, I'm not like Charlie Sorrell where I invent a new way of doing things.
But even though he invented all those hacked ways of doing things, he even went back to using a normal computer.
Yeah,
doesn't
but, you know,
I think, now? I think it does. Well,
But you know, my Tracy, that's her name. Isn't that right, Siri? Siri, what's my wife's name?
yes, Leander. Yeah. Your wife's name is Stacy.
Trixie. Well, I call her Trixie. I'll tell you that joke later on. But she's been full-time on the iPad for like about 3 years now.
Wow.
Hmm.
And she doesn't, you know, hasn't used a laptop, doesn't use the laptop or the desktop for anything. I mean, everything's done on the iPad.
But it's funny because if you're consuming stuff, I can totally see how that would be just fine. But like when she comes to CES and she's always trying to like do posts, Cult of Mac posts and stuff on her iPad, it's always a huge nightmare.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
and you're always getting angry and yelling at her, and you're like, "No, Tracy, what? That looks terrible."
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. That's a good point. I mean, she doesn't just consume. I mean, she's using it for email and for other stuff, shopping.
Email from shops that she's shopping at. Yeah,
right. But yeah, that's true. I mean, there was that, but you can do it. I mean, it's actually not as bad as it used to be. I mean, the WordPress app has got a lot better,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot easier to upload. You know, like loads of photographs Charlie has worked out these really. You know, there are ways to do it. We've got the live blog working on the iPod and the iPad, and that actually works out pretty well.
Huh. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So you can totally work on it. I mean, you just have to, you know, invest a couple of minutes to figure out how to do it.
By a couple of minutes, it's like 2 months worth of work. That's what it took Charlie to kind of like totally switch over to using an iPad. But
yeah, but he was hacking these things together himself, wasn't he? He was inventing. He had these really complicated workflows, and then he was trying to recreate them on the iPad. I mean, his workflows on the computer are insanely complex anyway.
He's the type of guy that probably shouldn't work on just an iPad. Like, he should probably stick with, like, an actual computer. But I know that Charlie, he's very thin, and I wonder how much, like, how many pounds he could lift before his arms get tired. So he kind of needs to carry an iPad around.
He's not that thin.
I hope he's listening. Well, I didn't even finish the rest of this, story. According to Gartner, the research firm, worldwide shipments of tablets will top PC by next year. It looks like laptops will be sending out about 317 million units. And tablets are expected to be 320. That's insane. Everyone that I know that has a tablet also has a computer. So I guess for me, I'm like, well, if it's what I do and what I know, it must be how everyone else thinks too. That's my logic. So yeah. I'm like, everyone who has a PC should also have a tablet because they're really not interchangeable devices. But I guess if you're older, especially, or you're just doing stuff that consumes, you know, internet stuff, then yeah, tablets are definitely the way to go. Or I always say tablets, and then I think actually what I mean is iPads.
iPad, right.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I always wonder if there actually is a tablet market or if there's just an iPad market and then Android tablets, you know, maybe sell like 2% of the market. I kind of wonder what the actual numbers are because I just made that number up right now.
Well, yeah, but you know, Charlie had a good point as well, that, which is that if the tablet had come before the PC, before the, you know, the Mac and the GUI, I think that we would have a totally different, you know, there would be a completely different conception of how to use a computer. And you know, I think it's really you know, it's the most personal computer there is. And I think for most people, for most tasks, the tablet is perfectly adequate. And I think, you know, it's only going to be for very small numbers of tasks. Even with iOS 8, and Buster, you can chip into this, right? I mean, you were looking at all the iOS, the capabilities of iOS 8 apps, especially with data sharing. iOS 8 is going to totally change the paradigm of the tablet and address a lot of the shortcomings, you know, which is like, you know, only using one tab at a time. It'll have split screens, so you can use a couple of tabs. You'll be able to share data between apps. You know, it'll even have things like you know, pressure sensitivity for tablets, so that stuff like drawing and painting on the screen will be a lot more capable.
I'm really excited for iOS 8. I've said that before on this show, and also Yosemite. I just they're adding so much great stuff to both of these OSs. I think it's really the OSs are maturing so much. We're going to be able to do so much on these devices that we can never do before. It's going to be like a whole new ecosystem once these operating systems get updated.
Right, absolutely.
Speaking of new features, Buster, I know I think you wrote this piece about iBeacons selling 60 million units by 2019.
Yep.
This is crazy. You know what this reminds me of is Minority Report.
Right. You know, they're going to be everywhere.
Yeah, they're going to be absolutely everywhere. Now, granted, iBeacons are those units that can track your movement within buildings and that type of thing. And they're not all going into retail locations. I guess hospitals are buying them a lot.
That's where, like,
schools and stuff too.
When you think about, like, lately, yeah, they've just been used in retail stores and stuff. But a report yesterday was talking about, like, enterprise and hospitals and, you know, schools and stuff. That's like where some more exciting stuff will come in for, like, security features and other things. Also, like, in your own home too. You could have all kinds of, like, IP.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they could.
What would you use it for in your home?
Oh, God, I can't even remember. Mike Elgin wrote, like, a nice piece about how he wanted iBeacon in his home. Like, you know, you come near your dryer or something like that, it starts up, or your microwave. I don't know.
An advert Tide laundry detergent pops up on your phone. I'll wait for that.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Every device that you own turns on as you approach it. So your sink turns on, your washer and, like, dryer door opens and hits you in the sack.
Just basic things too. Like, you come home, all the lights come on, you know, your thermostat is automatically set. But that's already starting to happen, you know.
Yeah, that is starting to happen. It would be cool if your devices became aware of your presence and then, like, offered you the option to interact with them. Like, you know, you have your hands are full with food or something, and you're going towards your TV, and it knows that you're approaching it. So it's like, would you like me to turn on? And then you just say yes or no, and it actually, you know, does that. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Or you go into the bathroom and it's like, uh-oh, should I turn the fan on? And you're like, yeah.
Get it back.
You know me too well, iOS 8. Turn it on high. I need some draft. I need some backdraft.
There
in this
you go.
Room.
That's a useful use case. That's about the only useful one I can think of.
But I also think it's cool to have this stuff out in the wild. And I may be alone on this thought, but I don't really mind being tracked as I move about different stores, especially if the data is anonymous. And if you're in a location, like, let's say you go to the mall, right? I know you guys are big mall rats. You're in your favorite store, The Gap, Buster.
Uh-huh. And I you're think looking... when, you know, it's, what's it called? 21? Forever 21.
You're in your favorite store, Forever 21, Buster. And you're looking for a flashy new belt so that you can go to the club. And when you're in there, it knows. So it pops up a coupon on your actual iPhone to save you some money. That would actually be pretty cool. If you're going to be there shopping anyway, and this technology could save you money on different things, I actually think that would be really handy. Don't you, Leander?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm always skeptical about the coupon because, I mean, I know they just jack the price anyway.
Yeah. You walk in and the price raises like 40%.
Right. I know. This is what it'll do with those e-ink displays. I mean, it's going to be totally, you know, they're going to be fluid, right? It's going to look at your phone. It's going to go, oh, this guy lives in this zip code. I'm going to change all the prices dynamically.
That's funny because that sounds way out there, but this already happens online, right?
Right.
A browser will read your cookies and can adjust prices accordingly. Like, right. Amazon is always adjusting their prices.
That's exactly how Amazon works.
Yeah. And, like, I heard that if you are looking for plane tickets or something, like, the first time you go, it may drop the prices because this is the first time you're searching for it. But the more and more you search, it realizes that you're getting ready to buy, and those discounts may cease. So it's like you're going to pay full price for something. And I don't know. That could actually start happening in stores and stuff. That right, would actually really suck.
It's just extending it into the real world, yeah. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Well, you know, Seattle just opened up a bunch of new legal pot stores, too. So
right.
Let's hope they don't start implementing this technology because...
Yeah.
From what
you already
I've read.
Smoked a pound of weed? My God, what are you doing back here?
You don't need a discount.
You need a job.
You need a life insurance policy. Okay, let's see here.
The first pot store opened up in near the Microsoft campus?
No, it's nowhere near the Microsoft campus. It's in Seattle. I don't think there's a Microsoft campus in near where it opened. And actually, where it opened is pretty well known for being a place where, you know, if you're going to walk around at night, you should have a shiv with you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think it's in the International District, which is like one of the places where, like, there's a lot of homeless people. And at night, like, you really kind of have to be careful. But yeah, they're opening up everywhere. And I saw a Reddit post and somebody had taken a picture of their receipt from one of these places. And all the prices are just sky high. I mean, sky high. They're so expensive. Not that I partake of the sweet smoke of the
marijuana
plant.
Yeah, right.
But I'll eat brownies all day long. But anyway, how do we get on to this topic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, high prices at the pot store. lots more show still to come. We're going to be talking about what looks to be a genuine iPhone 6 4.7 inch sapphire crystal display cover that a YouTuber got his hands on and did a bunch of scratch tests. And this thing, I couldn't believe how durable this thing looked. It was actually kind of hard to watch. We're going to be talking about battery life on iPhone 6. Foxconn apparently is getting ready to iRobot their iPhone building army. And then also, at the very end, we're going to be doing a new segment. I'm just going to start calling, we'll see how this works. I'm just calling it Geekin'. And
geeking?
It's just, yeah, geeking. It's just stuff that you're geeking out over. And I thought it would be fun just to kind of be able to talk about anything that you want to talk about. I mean, it could be technology related. It could be movie related. It could be anything you want, Leander. Just pick something that's your favorite, and then we'll talk about that stuff. We'll do that at the end of the show. I do want to thank Lynda.com for supporting us in this episode, though. Lynda.com. What could I say about the beautiful Lynda? .com. Well, I could say this. It's the place I go whenever I need to learn a new application. In fact, last episode, I was joking around kind of under my breath that people should go to lynda.com if they want to learn Lightroom 5 because Aperture is on its way out. But that's very true. They have lynda.com has an excellent Lightroom 5 course. It's one that I've been through more than once because Lightroom 5 is such a complicated application. And if you listen to the last show, you know, it's just not as intuitive to use as Aperture was. I mean, Aperture was so easy to use, but it wasn't as powerful. If you are a photographer, if you're trying to get into photography, if you have a DSLR and you're taking lots of raw images, you need a photo management app, and you need to learn how to use a photo management app because they're not just super intuitive. And Lynda.com has over 2,000 high-quality video courses to choose from, and it's not just to learn different applications. You could learn more about business. You could learn how to run your business better. You can learn about design. Sometimes I will peruse their design courses just to kind of brush up on my skills. They have lots of topical type courses that you can learn from. And the best thing is if you want to learn about a specific subject like photography, you can actually create a playlist that will teach you about a specific camera, and then it will move into courses on how to use photo management applications and even like Photoshop and that type of thing. And you can walk through a huge, huge gamut of topics all with one playlist and get your learn on. You know, go in there, get your learn on, and make yourself smarter. I'm a huge advocate of continual learning. And lynda.com's courses are the best I've ever seen, and I've been using them for years. So I'm thrilled to have them supporting us. Try it out yourself. Head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com/cultcast. And you'll get a 7-day free trial. Learn all you want for free. Access to all of Lynda's courses. I love lynda.com. Come on, Leander.
I know. I'm not taking the bait. Gosh. I'm not laughing anymore.
I got to wait longer. I got to wait longer next time. I'm going to wait like 2 minutes until you break. Okay. Let's talk about Sapphire Crystal on the iPhone 6 4.7-inch model. So I thought this was interesting for a few reasons. Popular YouTuber Marques Brownlee, no relation to John Brownlee, I don't think. No relation. Got his hands via Sonny Dixon, which I think is hilarious that Sonny Dixon's like providing all these prototype things.
Well, he's been sending them 9 to 5 too.
He's been sending them to everyone. I don't understand why he's been distributing these, but apparently he is, which makes it seem somewhat credible that this cover is actually real, because Sonny Dixon has a pretty good track record. So this kid on YouTube, Marques Brownlee, he does a video on how durable this thing is. Leander, did you watch it?
No, I just saw the animated GIFs that Buster made. Posted.
Buster, so you watched the video, right?
Yeah, it's pretty
incredible. Insane. I mean, he stabs this thing with a knife. He scratches it with his keys, and you're like, oh, okay, it didn't scratch. Wow, that thing's pretty durable. But then he takes this sapphire crystal cover, he puts it under his foot, and he starts bending it with both hands. And at any moment, you expect it to snap because he's twisting it, he's bending it, and he cannot get this thing to break. I mean, it's like one of the most durable pieces of clear anything I've ever seen. And the reason I think this is interesting is because there were rumors before that only the 5.5-inch model was going to get the sapphire crystal. But I mean, this thing looks to be the real deal. And if it is sapphire crystal, that means it's going to be provided on both the 4.7-inch and the 5.5-inch model.
I was more excited about the new SIM tray.
Oh, yeah. You mean that just demonstrated the colors of the upcoming iPhone? We're going to be exactly the same as they are now?
Right. And then there was the cabling. That one was pretty exciting.
That cabling was the most exciting.
Yeah. Leander, can you describe in great detail the structure of the cabling, what shape it was?
Oh, my God. It's going to totally blow away the last iPhone. Yeah.
I think the cabling inside the new one's way better.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, this is actually something that's really totally, like, that, you know, of all the parts leaks, like, something that's really, you know, is significant.
Yeah.
It's going to, you know, I'm selling all my shares in all those you know, places that fix your screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
That's going to be a thing of the past, right?
Yeah.
You have shares in places that fix screens?
Oh, yeah. And then
you have a great financial
manager. I've got a couple of franchises. And then what about cases? I mean, is this the end of the case?
I hope so. I mean, the back is still supposed to be aluminum.
Yeah. I mean, I broke my iPhone last week, my screen. And
you broke
it again?
It
was mostly because. Yeah, let's be quiet about it, though. and I think it's because I dropped it right where, like, the metal casing and the glass come together and it hit that spot. I don't know. But that's where the crack is. And the metal frame still bends like crazy if you drop it a couple of times. Like, mine's a little bit warped. So I think people still use cases.
Well, dude, I'm sorry. That sucks.
It does suck. Yeah, how many of you destroyed now?
That's my third one for the
iPhone. Oh, my
no, I don't have any. I don't have any AppleCare Plus replacements.
Oh, and you had AppleCare too?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
so you were getting like the $50 replacements.
Yeah, yeah, and then I used it all up, so I gotta suffer it out.
So you were really looking forward to the Sapphire Crystal cover on the new iPhone.
Yeah.
But the back is still going to get scratched up really bad. So I bet people will still put cases on it. But
I think that enhances it, though. You know, my brother's phone is. you know, is a bit worn, and I like his better than mine.
See, yeah, and that's why I never use the cases, because I feel like, you know, those little dings and stuff, they give it integrity, but right. The glass goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, totally. They enhance it, for sure.
And the aluminum banding on the outside is so malleable. Like, as soon as you drop it, you know, it's just totally dinged.
Yeah.
And that probably makes it easier to shatter the glass, too. So if they're going to stick with aluminum on the new model, it'll be good to actually have some stiffer glass. Buster, you wrote a post on Cultimac that said we might need to expect poorer or at least the same battery life on the new iPhone 6.
Yeah, I wouldn't say worse battery life, but I don't think Apple's going to have some big gains on the battery life for the iPhone 6, which I think is a really big bummer.
I do too. I was expecting it to be a lot better since the phone was going to be larger.
Right, but the display, it will be too, according to supply chain sources. It'll be slightly bigger than the iPhone 5S, but it also has a bigger display sucking up more power. So unless, you know, those displays are just really power efficient, there probably won't be any big gains in battery life.
If Apple made a phone that was slightly heavier than the one we have now, but offered double the battery life, would you guys be happy?
Oh, hell yeah.
Leander?
You know, I hate to buck the sentiment here, but I think the battery life on the 5S is perfectly fine.
Really? Wow. I think yep. It's a little...
I only charge it every couple of days. And
you only charge your 5S every couple of days?
Yeah, sometimes I can go like 3 or 4 days without charging.
Do you use your phone?
Yeah. I mean, not, you know, that's when I'm not using it excessively.
Oh. Wow. Mine never makes it more than 24 hours. And if I listen to music or I use it for Twitter or anything like that, you know, often throughout the day, then by end of the day, I'm at like 5%.
Yeah, if I use it for any type of streaming or anything, like there's no way I can get to the night without having to recharge it at some point, you know.
I always love having thinner devices, but if Apple came out with a model and they're like, hey, this one's not going to be thinner, but the screen's going to be bigger. And the phone might be like an ounce heavier or something, but the battery lasted twice as long. I think I'd be up for that.
Yeah.
Well, someone pointed out, you remember the old phones, the first cell phones from the 80s, the big bricks?
The Zach Morris cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, the Gordon Gekko cell phone. Well, I mean, that was because that thing, you know, you only had to charge it once a week.
Right. If that's if you were using it a lot.
But yeah, exactly. But they felt then, you know, that people wouldn't, you know, the big, it was, they didn't think that people would, you know, would buy a phone that was a lot thinner. I mean, but that had less than a week's battery life. So that's why those phones were so thick, because, you know, they were built for week long use.
Those things had like a full size car battery inside them too. Yeah, they weighed like 10 pounds.
you could jump start your car, everything.
Add little cables inside that you can
run your RV off of it.
Did you ever have one of those, Leander?
No, I never did.
Well, how big was your first cell phone?
I don't know. You know, it must have been, I think it was like a Nokia one.
Mine was a Nokia too.
And, you know, like a, what do they call them? Feature phone now. So, and it was back in the early 2000s.
Uh-huh. Same
I can't
here.
Remember.
Yeah. I thought I remember. Was so cool when I first got a cell phone. I was like, all the ladies are going to be calling me. And then I saw how much the bill was. And I was like, ladies, don't call me. Yeah, send me a text or page me and I'll call you back.
Right. Exactly.
Did you guys ever have pagers?
No.
Leander, did you have a pager?
No, never did.
Neither of you guys had pagers?
No,
oh, man. I had like one of those old school ones.
I'm not Doogie Howser. What would I want a pager for? I never sold drugs and I never did any brain surgery.
For the ladies, like when they just really need to go on a date with you and they page you and they put 911 at the end. No?
No.
Oh, never did that. And then if you were really cool, you got the alphanumeric pager. So that they could actually leave you short messages.
Oh,
they'd have to
message.
Call this service, then actually talk to a human and tell the person what their message was, and then that person would type it and send it to your pager.
Nope.
Oh, man, you guys are missing out.
I missed out on the beeper page.
You know what we're missing out on is the Argentina game.
It hasn't even started yet.
It has started. I'll watch it right now, and I'm for tuning you out.
All right. Well, let's keep the show rolling then, because we're not even close to being done. There's like at least an hour left of this 30-minute podcast.
90 minutes.
Let's talk about Foxconn. We'll breeze through these stories, because I'm excited to get to the new segment, Geekin'. So let's talk about Foxconn. Apparently, they have an army of robots that they're deploying to either help, we're not clear on this, either help their employees build phones or completely replace them at some point. And the story goes that the iPhone 6 is even more complicated to build than it used to be. And these machines are costing Foxconn $20,000 to $25,000 a piece. That seems low, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But they're supposed to assist in the build of this new device. But I guess my question to you guys is, let's say that these eventually, you know, replace human beings in the construction of the iPhone. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, the robots, I don't really think there's much changing here. The robots have been used by Foxconn for all of the iPhones. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing.
Because, you know, we always hear about human rights abuses and stuff inside some of these factories. Well, what if they just replaced humans entirely and they had, you know, the T-1000 building your iPhone?
I'm okay with that.
That would actually be pretty awesome.
as long as I still have a job.
That's all that matters to me is your job, Buster. But, you know, I wonder if displacing workers in this way, I mean, is going to be a good thing for people that work in China. Maybe they have other jobs that are available to them that will treat them better, or if they're just going to be unemployed.
Yeah, that's a big question. But, you know, I think every time there's been automation, you know, like it displaces workers for a while, but then, you know, new jobs pop up or, you know, things like agriculture, right? I mean, there used to be a time in this country not so long ago, the previous generation, I mean, most people were employed in agriculture.
Right.
And, you know, now it's like, what is it? It's less than I don't think it's even a few percent, 6% or something like that. And it used to be like 70%. So, you know, new jobs pop up. And those are not good jobs. Those are not, you know, those aren't nice jobs. And working in factories.
No, they're not. Jobs. And if they get replaced, I mean, to your point, you know, how they'll eventually be back doing something else. I mean, hopefully they end up in a better position. And I mean, odds are if these computers are really sophisticated, they may end up, you know, as soldiers in the army battling these robots when they become self-aware. <That's right. laughs> And they have hands that can grasp you and shake you. Right. So, you know, you may just end up fighting for your life. It could mean that we're going to have less expensive iPhones because the cost of production could go down. So,
yeah, you know, They've been investing in this kind of stuff for years, and you know, like the CNC, the unibody manufacturing process. I mean, that could be called robot because it's computer controlled, and you know, so a lot of some of the major components were already made by quote unquote robots, you know, but the assembly, I think, you know, putting them together, that always required some human labor, and you know, Steve Jobs dreamt of a robot factory. So he tried to build a robot factory in Fremont for the original Macintosh. Mm-hmm. And they actually did build one. It was like, you know, $25 million, which is a fortune in those days, like billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. But they vastly underestimated the number of Macs they were going to sell. And so, you know, the factory was kind of sitting idle. And it was automated. It was like, you know, it was like it was made to, you know, it wasn't flexible. They couldn't use it to build any other products. They could only build the Mac on it. And then when Mac demand didn't come in, you know, they took a bath on it and he had to close it down eventually.
I think I saw a YouTube video on that.
Yeah, there's a couple floating around. It's like there's a couple of really interesting videos, and he took a lot of it from Toyota. Like, he took a couple of visits to Toyota in the 80s, and he was impressed with their beautiful factories that were pristine, and all the workers wore these color-coded uniforms to show where they worked, and he really wanted to bring that to the States. And so he spent a lot of time. All the machines were, like, it was all white inside, and all the machines were painted different colors, you know, to show what they did. And he wanted all the workers wearing, you know, these uniforms. But, you know... It turned out that it couldn't be, you know, they couldn't use it for building anything else, really. It was like too, and this is the problem always with automation, is that it's a lot easier to hire workers, you know, who can be trained overnight to do a different job.
And workers that are really flexible, too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right,
not
exactly.
Not so rigid that you have a machine that costs $30,000 that's really only good at doing one thing.
Yeah.
And then
but now they're getting sophisticated enough that they can, you know, that they can be used to build different products. So, I mean, they're obviously building these really complex lines. You know, like in motor manufacturing, like in Tesla. Tesla's got a factory that's mostly automated. But it's mostly because, you know, they're going to be running that line for years.
Right.
And it's worth the investment. You know, it's sort of cheaper in the long run to get to build robots to do it because, you know, they don't have to pay labor costs.
You know what I think it's crazy is if you Google Amazon factory or search for it on YouTube, they'll bring up the huge, huge, huge warehouses that Amazon has where they distribute all their goods and ship all their goods from. And they have people actually go pull your orders, which I thought was crazy because you know how many orders they get per second. It's probably like a gazillion. And then they said that people are really good at organizing things into small spaces and pulling orders. So all those orders are actually pulled by actual people. And they just have like an army of people that are working there day in and day out and, you know, shipping out people's orders. So I guess humans are better at doing some things.
Yeah, but to be honest, I'd rather a robot did that kind of work, wouldn't you? I mean, it makes me feel guilty. I'm going to go cancel all my Amazon orders now.
I don't mind.
It sounds really exploitative. Are they like children because their hands are smaller?
Well, yeah. Did you see that video too? And they found that if they whipped them, they worked faster. And you know, it's surprising how motivated people are by food. If you just stop feeding them, yeah. They work like they double their work pace. It's incredible.
That's exactly. Yeah,
Jeff Bezos is a genius.
There were some other reports too. Sorry, one more thing about Foxconn hired. They still hired 100,000 people, extra workers, right, to assemble these.
Yeah,
phones.
Yeah. It seems like their machine is in full gear. They're starting to produce things. 100,000 people.
This is going to be such a huge hit. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to be massive. And I just saw that report. I'm sure you guys saw it that said iPhone is like the most popular handset in the United States right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is just fuel for the fire. Fuel on Tim Cook's fire.
Right.
He's pouring that fuel all over that fire, y'all. Ooh, that's hot. Should we talk about Yosemite? Oh, gosh. Let's go over this one quickly. There's not a lot to talk about here. So Yosemite Beta 3, I think, is out. And it got a dark mode preview. That's cool. Nothing really else. That's cool.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, I've got it here running here right now. How do you turn it on?
You have to go into the system preferences.
Got it.
Did you update to the new Yosemite?
Yeah.
Of course he did, as soon as it became available.
I heard. I haven't, but I think just like the dock and the menu is all that changes.
That's what I read too, yeah.
So it's still kind of pretty limited.
All right. Well, while Leander's looking for that, Buster, let's talk about iOS 8 Beta 3 because that actually does have some stuff worth talking about.
There was a few. UI tweaks. The biggest thing I think was the changes to the health app. So now your iPhone automatically tracks like your steps and your distances.
That is really cool. That's probably one of my most anticipated features. iOS 8.
Yeah, so it's looked like the health app is kind of starting to take more shape for iOS 8, and it could actually be interesting, you know, even without having your own sensors and stuff like that.
Because before, you would need to have an actual device that you wore that, you know, could track your movement, and I think it's great to be able to track your steps, because your phone's pretty much always in your pocket, right?
Right, yeah. I took it for a test run the other night, like went on a jog, and tracked my distance with a third-party app, and then used the health app, and it's pretty accurate, you know. There's like, it was like a off by a little bit, but
enough for free.
Yeah, exactly.
What else we got? iCloud Drive finally making its first appearance.
Yeah, so there's more of an interface for iCloud Drive that you can upgrade to when you set up your phone. Other than that, just like really small UI tweaks mostly. There is a cool feature I discovered or was tipped to today, where if you don't want to use Apple Maps, but you want to like use Siri to like search with Apple Maps, this is kind of nice. You can switch over to like Google Maps or any of your other Maps apps right from Apple Maps. Like you just tap on a pin and then it'll ask you if you want to use Google Maps instead and take you over to that.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah.
It looks like they also have introduced Wi-Fi calling, and I guess if you are a T-Mobile user, there are some people that are seeing that actually work on T-Mobile. I guess they're beta testing it, huh?
Yep.
Cool feature. Wi-Fi calling is something that would have been really awesome if it were introduced 4 years ago when all of us were still paying for minutes.
Yep.
But all the telecoms have wised up. They know that no one's paying for minutes anymore, so now they just give you the minutes for free. And they charge you for the data. So in a way, this actually might be better for them. Because now instead of using your unlimited minutes, you'll be using your Wi-Fi or your... I guess it's Wi-Fi. So you won't actually be using your data plan. Hopefully not. Anything else that's interesting in iOS Beta 3, Buster?
That's about it.
Yeah, I'm looking. There's some UI improvements. There's some new wallpapers.
What about overall, Buster? How is it overall?
Oh, I think it's way better than the Beta 2. Like the last 3 weeks, my phone has just been horrible, but it's been a little bit more stable the last 2 days.
And everything work? Does email work and stuff like that?
I never use iOS email. I should probably test it out.
Okay. That was my big problem.
I always use Gmail.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
Leander, how's dark mode looking?
You know, I'm completely underwhelmed.
Honest opinion, you heard it here first.
I'm like, what's the big deal? It just makes the menu bar dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but now it's dark instead of light.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That'd be cool. It depends on what color your background is.
I mean, if you're working in Adobe Lightroom all day, I mean, Photoshop or something, I guess it could be fun.
Can be handy, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, let's wrap up on the iOS beta chats. We're expecting the final version, of course, sometime either late this summer or in the fall, probably when new devices ship. And I'm eager to get my hands on it for sure. But let's wrap up with an all-new segment I'm simply calling Geekin'. This is stuff that we're geeking out on, and I just wanted to have an opportunity to hear what you guys were into these days. I've been playing around with some cool gadgets. People know I love playing with new gadgets. Some of them are useful, some of them are not. And this doesn't need to be a gadget. It could be anything that you're really into currently and want to tell us about. It's like show and tell for school. Remember show and tell, Leander?
Yeah, they don't do that in England.
Way back in... Oh, they don't. They just tell you to shut it and get back to work. Does anyone want to go first? Leander.
Buster.
Messi's doing a free kick. So.
Whoa, I know. Yeah, Messi just took a free kick. You know, that's what I'm geeking out about is the World Cup at the moment.
We had no idea you were such a soccer fan.
I'm not. I hate football. I hate soccer. I hated it. Oh, my goodness. That was a great shot. I really hated it in England, and I couldn't, I was the only person, and I had to fake it, right? You work in a blue-collar job, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, you see, so-and-so at the weekend. And before I got into work, I'd have to ask one of my coworkers, he'd give me some talking points.
Yeah, because you were a bartender for a long time, weren't you?
Right, yeah.
So you had to know the shop talk.
Yeah, you don't want to get beaten up, so you have to sort of pretend that you're into it. And they have to have a favorite team and et cetera, et cetera. It's like so in, it's so central to the culture so I really didn't like it. But the international competition, I think, is astonishing, amazing. And it's like a great, great competition. And it's nice to see here in the States, that it's actually got some interest. At least here in San Francisco, it does.
Yeah, there's been a lot of interest here in Seattle, too. Seattle's actually a big soccer city, a.k.a. football city.
Right.
We have a big stadium where our local team plays. Our local team's actually really popular.
Yeah,
they're
good,
too. I've never been to one of their games, but I always see people wearing scarves that say Sounders on it. So I'm like, oh, cool. People are into soccer. So that's going to be what you're geeking out on, Leander, soccer?
Yeah, that's for another week anyway.
For another week? Is that when the World Cup ends?
It's actually over at it's only a few days, isn't it?
Okay, when Germany takes the gold.
Yeah.
Germany takes the gold. Buster, what about you? What do you got?
Swimming pools.
Oh, sweet,
it's really
swimming
hot
pools.
In Phoenix.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of swimming. Does that count?
Sure. Anything that you're really into.
They got nice pools in Phoenix?
I don't have a nice pool, but other people do. So I just go pool hopping. Sometimes you got to break into certain establishments.
There's like certain cultures that you have to like weasel your way into to get access to their pool.
Yeah, definitely, man.
It's like when you make it to the infinity pool, that's how you know you've really made it.
Yeah.
In Phoenix.
Or you can just go down to the river with everybody else,
With all the plebeians.
All our lower class idiots.
I would probably rather do that because, when you're in a pool all the time, doesn't your skin just get all, like, chlorine agitated?
Yeah, but then if you're in, like, a river or a lake, it's just, like, sometimes stagnant, nasty fish water pooping all over you.
Right. And don't people do more salt water in pools these days?
Do that?
I don't know about in Phoenix, but I know it's popular in California.
Yeah, right.
All right.
That's the best thing about Las Vegas is all the pools. Have you ever done the pool hopping in all the casinos?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So many great pools in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I've only seen like two of them, though, because every time we go, I'm working.
Yeah.
and it's February.
It's you can still swim. It's a bit chilly, but yeah.
It makes your nipples hurt. They're so stiff. It's not pleasant at all.
Well, they weren't used for a long time. That's why they did all those pool parties. I mean, like if you went 10 years ago, maybe 15 now, but they would be they'd be really underutilized. No one would really be around the pool. Then they started having these parties around the pool.
That seems crazy because I always see pictures when people go to Vegas, all the pool parties everyone goes to in the summertime. It's freaking like 110 degrees there. What else would you want to do? Walking around Vegas in the middle of the
day. Well, people wouldn't even go outside. You know,
it's oppressive.
Yeah.
It's like even when people have their convertibles, the tops are always up. The windows are rolled up. It's just so freaking hot there. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and wrap us up then. I'm going to choose an actual gadget. You guys are going to think this is the nerdiest thing ever. But I bought a cheap laser online.
Laser scooter?
No, it's an actual laser. It's
oh, like a laser pen?
Yeah, kind of. Like the kinds that you'd want to attach to a shark's head.
You point at the incoming airliners?
Yeah, the ones that you should never point at an airplane. Or you can attach to the, you know, the top of a ill-tempered sea bass. So I bought one of these things, and I just kind of bought it on a whim because it was super cheap. I bought it off some Chinese like website that sells knockoff stuff. And I was totally geeking out over this thing because it's so powerful that when you shine it into the sky, especially if it's dark, you can actually see the beam go out into space. And you can like point out individual stars and stuff with this thing. And I had no idea how much fun lasers were to play with. So I started doing all this research online on YouTube of like more powerful versions of what I have. And mine is 5 milliwatts, as I said, which will mean nothing to most people, but it's not very bright, although, you know, you can damage your eyes with it. And then the really powerful ones are like 1,000 milliwatts or 2,000 milliwatts. And once you get up into that range, you can actually light stuff on fire with a laser.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could point it at like balloons and pop them. So like that's fun. If you see like a kid, you're like, oh, so long balloon. You pop it, he starts crying. It's a riot laugh.
Yeah.
And you could also use it to burn like electrical tape and duct tape and stuff. I mean, in no way is it actually useful when you see.
What about your neighbor's houses? Can't you step out of the curtains through the window?
Actually, you could. If their curtains were black, you probably could start a house fire. Not that you should ever consider that if you're at all a decent human being. Let's see, what color are my neighbors?
Well, you know, my neighbor, what about setting fire to your neighbor's cars? I mean, because they're kind of taking up the street.
if there's a cat that you don't like.
Yeah, right.
You can just kind of quickly just buzz it from like 1,000 yards away. So I'm trying to get some more powerful lasers to review. And I was looking at on YouTube, these people review these lasers. And there are some kinds that are so powerful that when you shine them into the sky, like the astronauts can see them. Because the diameter of the laser is so large and it's so bright that, A, you're supposed to be wearing protective eye gear to even look at these things, because just shining it against a flat surface, the reflection of that dot is so powerful that it can actually cause eye damage instantaneously. So you get to wear these really cool, like, scientific goggles. But yeah, that's what I'm really into.
Okay.
Burning stuff with lasers. And like I said, hopefully I'll be able to get in a more powerful model. And then we can actually talk about it on the show. Ad nauseum, Leander.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to that.
So. Yeah. Maybe dedicate a whole episode to it. Just you and me talking about lasers.
I never would have guessed this one.
Yeah, well, hey, me either, actually. Like I said, I ordered this thing on a whim. But there's all sorts of cool stuff that I know we're all into that has nothing to do with Apple. In fact, I'd say 70% of our pre-show chat has to do with just that. So I was like, hey, let's talk about some of that stuff during the
show. All right. Okay. Well, cool. Next week, we can talk about my new coffee machine.
You getting a new coffee machine?
Well, yeah, but let's talk about it now. Let's talk about it next week. Okay. And why don't we ask the readers if they've got anything to share?
Yeah, and
if
you guys have anything to suggest, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Airfon, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. And you can also hop on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, and leave your suggestions there. And actually, Facebook just reorganized our page, so it's easier to actually see your comments, which we weren't really seeing very many of before because they're all hidden. So let us know if you want us to review something or talk about something. The topic is anything that you choose. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there, Leander. I know you're dying to get back to the game. Okay, that's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening. Thanks for geeking out with us. And we'll see you guys. Let's do the World Cup style next time. Next time!
That was great.
Google alerts.
Hey, guys.
There he is.
Hey.
Sorry about
there
that.
There he is. He's eating, he's too. Eating.
I stink.
I'll have a quick bite.
So I'm definitely ripping into this then.
Leander, what are you eating?
Salmon.
Salmon? Oh, fancy.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. fancy.
If your friends at home knew the kinds of foods you ate now, how posh your diet was, they wouldn't even talk to you anymore.
No. I've moved on from fish and chips.
Now you eat salmon.
No chips, yeah.
No chips, just salmon. Maybe a light green salad. You can never move back there, Leander.
Oh, no, never.
You'll get beat up.